Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the 22nd of October 2024. Does look like it's a little bit brighter today out there, although it's still dark. I believe that we go back to, when is it? The end of the week? We go back to GMT, I think. We either go back or we go forward. I can't remember which way it is. Spring forward, leap back. Is that what it is? Or leap forward, spring back? One of the three. And so is that, I can't remember if that makes it darker in the morning. You know, I'm 60. I ought to remember, 61 in fact. I ought to remember which way round this goes. But I can never remember these things and I never quite understand it. It'd be just easier. Time is a funny old business anyway to begin with. But anyway, it is the 22nd. It's actually my 22nd of October is my wedding anniversary. Not that I celebrate it now, because I'm no longer married, but it was this day some years ago, in the early 90s, 91 I think it was, I can't remember now. Anyway, long time ago. But you know how dates sometimes are etched on your memory. Lovely Julia is here. Hello, lovely Julia.
Good morning. What's special about today?
It's my wedding anniversary.
All right.
From all those years ago. Not that I, as I say, I don't celebrate it anymore, but certain dates, because of certain events, they're always stuck on your mind.
I can't forget mine, 1st of August. It was the same as my mother and father-in-law's.
Ah, well, there you go. It's a constant reminder. It's like, I remember my parents' birthdays, but I kind of celebrate them, but I can't celebrate them with them, not in the physical sense. But maybe they are around. But then that's an interesting thing in and of itself, because some people say now one shouldn't really think about the birth date, the date you're delivered, because you're alive before that. It's not as if you haven't been alive.
Yeah, the Chinese take it from the date of conception.
Yes, I think that's probably a much more sensible thing if you can work it out, even if you have an approximate 9 months before and work out a date. And so, yes, because you, on either date, you can't say that you are aware of it. You can say, it's hearsay, I'm told I was born on a certain day, but I was an infant, and so therefore I cannot guarantee that that's true. I'm relying on two people who now are no longer there to question. In my case, I cannot actually ask them and say, is that true? And for all she knows, it may have been the next day or another different day. So it's all hearsay to me. Anyway, that's a moot point. I'm going to quickly find the diarists and see what they say. Maybe they'll talk about that, or maybe they'll talk about, I don't know, Coniston Lake or some such place, or down on the water's front. I've got to find the dear diaries. Let's just stick that over there. It's still chillier, though, today, isn't it? We had a guest round last night. I'll tell you about that in a moment, if you're bothered. So here we are, 22nd of October, Thursday evening, it says, 6:30. This is S.T. Coleridge in 1801 in Cumberland. He says, all the mountains black and tremendously obscure, except Swinside. At this time I saw one after another, nearly in the same place, two perfect moon rainbows. What is a moon rainbow? Have you had seen moon rainbows? No idea.
Probably where there's a rainbow around the moon.
Oh, yes, a bit of a shimmer of colour. It was grey moonlight, mist colour. Ah, there you go. So that's jolly. And that's the only one on that particular date. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, we had a friend of ours called Kieran who came over yesterday. It was very nice to see him. We cooked, a friend of mine for way back when. Well, I can't remember way back. We'll come over here so we can hear. Yes, back to the days of dance industry, which I suppose I was in my 20s. So 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years, that is quite a surprise, really. Well, mid-twenties, anyway, whatever. So he came over, we cooked a casserole, with some extra vegetables. It was very delicious.
Well, you did, and it was very, very delicious.
It was very delicious, which was very nice, and it was a pleasure to share. Kieran liked it. He doesn't overly eat healthily, so it was nice to give him some real farm shop healthy food.
But you piled his plate up and he ate it all.
He did, he
and
did.
And he did keep saying, splendid.
Splendid, yeah. So I think he enjoyed it. And then I'm afraid to say we did follow it up with, I did rush down to the corner shop and buy some ice cream. I won't mention brands because they don't need the publicity, but we did buy some little ice lolly things with chocolate around them as a little, you know, highly processed rubbish. But small amount, really, in the great scheme of things, as a finisher-upper, because we didn't have a pudding. I hadn't made a berry, apple and berry crumble or anything.
We needed the palate cleanser.
Yes, some stewed apples and things. And then we all puffed away on our various puffing devices. I was on my pipe and he and Julia were on their roll-ups. So it was a very fine evening. We had deep philosophical conversations, as you do, all around the houses, which was lovely. We made our own entertainment, in other words, which was splendid. So that was yesterday evening. In the daytime, I had, I was due to have three podcasts or interviews, videos, whatever you want to call them. It's really irritating. It just irritates me now that podcasts are being known as videos, or rather videos are being known as podcasts. Because to me, a podcast, I mean, I was around...
It's just audio. It's just audio. That's a podcast.
Yes.
This is a podcast. Just getting it. Can you see us? No, it's
like
a podcast.
It's like changing the wording for what a vaccine is to include poison.
Or like changing the... Yes, exactly. Or changing the meaning of gay.
Yes, exactly. All these words that now change.
Or
so,
sick.
Or sick, yes. When you're sick, you know, you're not very well, is how I think. Or you're throwing up.
It's not the bee's knees.
Exactly. But so podcasting did start off like this. This is a podcast. This one is a podcast.
Proper podcast.
Because it's an audio one. But anyway, that aside, I had three of these media outputs to do, one of which was an interview with a guest, which was very interesting, about hell, In Search of Hell, with my guest Christopher Sparks. That will go out today. Fascinating conversation I had with him.
Fascinating gentleman.
So I'll leave that there so that you go, oh, that's interesting. It wasn't interesting about who Satan, Lucifer, hell and the devil may well be and all of that. That was interesting. Then I was being interviewed and was interviewed by a lady called Mel for something called the Settle Podcast, which was a video. So anyway, that was a video, but she calls it a podcast. And and I think mainly because it's videoed. It's a videoed interview that you can listen to. You don't have to watch.
But it's a video interview.
Yes. And I think people separate the audio and turn it into a podcast. And that's when it's a podcast. But when it's a video interview... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm getting my knees in a bonnet.
Your knees?
My knees in a... Yes. Instead of my knickers in a twist.
My silk bonnet.
No, I'll try not to, my love. Then I was going to be interviewed a second time by Lou Collins from Liberty Tactics, which is a podcast because that is only audio. And she says, it's only audio. And it's like, yes, I know it's only audio because you've called it a podcast. But we were running around. I did quickly message her, said, is it okay to finish by 7 because I've got this guest around, I need to cook. And she said, oh, you sound rushed and tired. Why don't we do it on Wednesday? And I said, well, that's very gracious of you. So
she is very gracious.
Yes. It's this lovely lady. So, yes, so that's happening on Wednesday. So in the end, I didn't do that. So instead, I rushed around and tried to tidy up the house a little bit because it had been a bit of a dumping ground because we'd been away and we'd come back. And then what had we done before that time we were away? Things had still been dumped from previous away time in plonk, you know, unload the van, plonk it about.
Before that was Glastonbury and...
Oh, yes.
A few other places.
Yes. So, and then, you know, I come back in and I've got these scheduled interviews and things, so...
Oh, yeah, you didn't give yourself a gap between the last time we went...
No.
...and came back. So normally, these days, you give yourself at least a day...
Yeah.
...with no interviews and things, so that you can catch up things.
And put things away and...
Yeah, and recalibrate.
And answer all the millions of emails and what have you. But anyway, so that didn't happen. Yesterday was quite full-on-ish. And, of course, you've got emails and phone calls and all these other things that go on in life. Anyway, I'm not making excuses for being busy.
Yes, you are. Excuses. Yes. No, it's not an excuse, it's a reason.
It's a reason to be jolly. And that was... Anyway, it was a productive day. And it was a nice finish to the end. However, I didn't do any writing, and I'm trying to write a new book. And I didn't do any reading with the lovely Julia, and we are reading something that we are both thrilled.
I am getting withdrawal symptoms.
Okay,
I was sitting there last night with Kieran in the room, and I'm going, I'm not getting a reading book tonight. Oh, no.
And that's what we do in the evenings. We read to each other, and we actually we miss it now if
yes.
we don't do it, whether, you know, whatever it is. The great thing about it, it's like listening to radio, really, except that it's us reading to one another, because one can be preparing food or washing up the food whilst the other one is reading to us and keeping us entertained. And it's people should try it. And we, you know, in front of the fire, the Essie is lit, the lovely flames.
Yes.
It is very relaxing and, you know, romantic, caring, companionship thing to do.
Personal, isn't it?
Yes, we're not allowing professionals, outside professionals, to entertain us. We do that from time to time. Sometimes we'll put a video on, occasionally,
or
an old
Norman
film.
Wisdom.
Yes, a Norman Wisdom film, and we may decide to watch that. Very often, though, we'll read and do all of those things, and then we will eat in absolute silence. No, not, of course not absolute silence. But we'll eat and chat about things. And then we might then pick up where we left off with the book and read some more. People don't do that sort of thing, it doesn't seem. They all seem quite surprised. We spoke to Kieran and he said he doesn't do books because he's partially dyslexic.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even do audiobooks, but he does like watching YouTube, long extended YouTube videos, which is fair enough.
And everyone listening to podcasts.
And listening apparently to podcasts, whatever they bloody are.
Well, we were like, well, why don't you get some audio books?
Yes. But they can be hit and miss, audio books, you know, unless you like the subject. The great thing about with reading it yourself, you can add characterization to the characters. You can make them fun. Or if you decide, well, this is a bit of a pointless thing, we'll just stop, you know, and then you swap.
Find another book.
Yes, or you swap reader, and then another reader might, you know, Julia might do it in a different way, and you go, oh, that's much more engaging than my boring attempt. Or if our eyes are tired, you know, we find, oh, hang on, the words are jumping around the page, or I'm just stumbling over the words or whatever.
Well,
I've
read the same word three times.
Yes.
Why?
So it is all a bit mad. So talking of that, I was reading you a little bit from the field of, can't remember what it was called now. At the Field's Edge. I'm just going to do another little section from a different chapter because I really enjoyed that. I've yet to actually read the book properly, but it's a lovely book. I'm going to find another random chapter to. Here we go. Oh, this is a good chapter. I think this is very pertinent to us. This is chapter 7, and the title of the chapter is A Growing Separation, the Country and the City. And I think that's what's happened, and we desperately need to get back to it. So I'll just read you a bit, and I'm sure we can reflect on this. As had happened during the mid to late 1930s, interest in rural literature throughout the 1950s also waned. The resurgence of interest in the countryside writing during World War II subsided, and the public's desire for an evocation of rural England, when the countryside was appreciated for both its sanctuary form and its provision for England's embattled cities, had cooled. Rationing came to an end in 1954, and there was a more pronounced sense that England's population was looking to the future and to modernity and not to the past, which I think is interesting, that we, as we approached the 60s then, and they started to pull down all those, I mean, the rot was starting then, wasn't it? When they started to pull down some lovely Victorian buildings, possibly Georgian ones, in order to put those ghastly, brutalist 1960s utilitarian style buildings, very straight lines, curves, and what would you call it? Embellishments on buildings were eradicated, and you had minimalistic, boxy buildings of the 60s came in. As a direct consequence of the farm subsidies provided by the 1947 Agricultural Act, farming had moved even further from the traditional methods advocated by Bell and like-minded contemporaries such as Massingham. Instead, H.G. Massingham, got some of his books. Instead, farms were becoming larger, more intensive, and more reliant on capital inputs in the form of machinery, artificial fertilisers and pesticides. And absolutely, this is where the rot sets in, that nearly 100 years, 80 years is it now, since the Second World War, from the, you know, the middle of the Second World War. This is it, a huge, huge industrialization of farming, which look where we are now with supermarkets and nutrient-free food. Perhaps not surprising, his next book, The Path by the Window, a collection of articles from his columns in the Eastern Daily Press, a countryman's notebook, was largely neglected by the wider reading public and received only local reviews. In light of the technological, economic and cultural changes of the late 1950s and early 60s, Bell's publishers wanted him to move away from writing about what they regarded was overly nostalgic and address what they saw as more contemporary, more modern concerns. Although his writing remained popular amongst his loyal readers, his autobiography, My Own Master, published in 1961, sold well over 6,000 copies in the first year. Well, that doesn't sound very many. His other work, such as A Suffolk Harvest and A Street in Suffolk, sold poorly. And although his articles for the Eastern Daily Press remained popular for his core readership, the decline in the wider interest in Bell's work beyond his readership reached a low point in the 1960s. That's a shame, because he writes very, very beautifully. Anyway, I'll leave my reading there. But that was interesting that, and I think what we find is that after the 60s and when we get into the late 70s, the nostalgia starts to come back, because we've seen what the 60s have done to towns, has destroyed the towns, turned them into these very stark modernish stuff with concrete, big glass, and we start to see the beginning of the end of the community feel of a town with its beautiful Georgian, Victorian stuff. Although, you know, this is me sweeping statement here, of course, because in larger towns, and certainly up in the Midlands, we did see very long roads with huge avenues of copycat Victorian terraces that went on and on and on, you know, the sort of the slums, as they became, as they started to lose their thing. Now, of course, some of these so-called slum housing is extremely desirable because of where they are in London and places like that. But some are still these great long avenues of thousands of houses in massively quick built. And of course, people then must have thought, oh, how ugly they are. And it's like anything, when things are, the scale is just too big and they're everywhere, the beauty of the lines and the beauty of the design becomes invisible. And we now see that with the modern housing estates that all look the same all over the country, all with the same type of material, no local materials. You don't get a sense of, when you're in Sussex now, that you have flint and chalk, anymore because they're all made from the same garish brick, very sort of loud orangey brick. You don't get the same in, you know, very not very much in the elliptic limestone in the Cotswolds, or granite, or timber framed. You know, obviously timber framing now is like you're 2x2, so thin and nasty and hidden behind all this.
And grown so badly,
and weak and feeble housing going up, that, you know, one bit of wind and your roof falls off. Anyway, it's easy to moan about it, but...
Whiskers on kittens?
Apparently there are whiskers on kittens. You may have not noticed that.
Brown paper packages are wrapped up with...
Yes. So it's interesting. I do find it interesting to see the progression. And yes, you can be very nostalgic about it, but sometimes within that nostalgia itself, you're actually looking at quality. And quality does not change. Quantity can eradicate quality when costs are cut. And that's what has happened in the housing stock. And you're seeing stuff being shoved up. And so therefore, the aesthetic value of living in the tarmac, tiny, mean-windowed, quick-to-erect brick boxes that are really no more than, what do they call it? Dormitory towns. They're just sort of, you know, people don't live there. They sleep there. They come back at night and they eat and sleep. What a fester. They, what's the word, ferment behind their glasses, like glass windows. And then they get up and go to work. You know, it's a sort of commuter. And although more people are working at home, but these houses are not really designed to actually stay at home in all day because they're flimsy. They're designed for you just to sort of bed down and go because they're too small. They don't have large enough rooms to spread out in the house and, you know, build your Lego and have a bit of fun and stuff. They're just flimsy. That's my opinion anyway, of course.
Even 30-something years ago when my parents bought the house that they still have now, because my dad took a job in Saudi and they saved up and bought it whilst it was being built, and we came back and visited it. But once we moved in, we discovered, well, it was made by Abbey Homes, which my parents not so fondly call shabby homes. Because all sorts of different little niggly problems came out, and, you know, and that was 30-something years ago. It's only gotten worse. Mm. So now you just go, it just collapse. Ridiculous.
Yeah. But they've lived there all their lives, haven't they? I mean, since they bought that.
Since they bought it, well, it's 30-something years ago.
Yeah.
Almost my whole life.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, mind you, I've been here for...
For the same amount.
Yeah, nearly 35 years.
And theirs was brand new, and it was full of problems.
Right. I mean, this is full of problems, but it is 150 years old.
Yeah, but...
So, but a lot of the problems, you know that when you move in. Mm. You can see, oh yeah, the walls aren't straight, or the floorboards have got cracks in them, and on that basis, you buy the house. So you know you're going to have those issues, but when you buy a brand new spanking house and it looks gleaming, you expect it to remain like that, don't you?
You expect...
Or at least for 10, 20 years.
Yeah, you expect the measurements of the fitted kitchen to actually function properly and things like that.
But, I have to say, it's not my kind of house. But then I'm so used to living in an old house with creaky floorboards and, fires that you light. I just wish it wasn't on a busy town. I wish it was in the middle of the countryside with a few extra rooms of the same character.
My mum and dad were just grateful to be able to buy a detached house.
Yeah.
Out in semi-urbanism.
Well,
semi-rural. Yes. At the time.
But now the whole estate is copycat of
crammed.
Yeah. Just, and that is this. That is one of the issues, isn't it? We have these days.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch up with you, no doubt, tomorrow.
Have a lovely day.
Bye for now.